Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hear again a portion of this morning's gospel text. And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. But even the hairs of your head are numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. This is God's word. Please be seated. If you have been paying attention in the news, and I can't blame you if you haven't, but if you have, you will know that the past few months have been particularly difficult months for Christians around the world. Not that it's different than any other months, but I'm sure you remember the Palm Sunday bombings in Egypt. But what you may not be aware of is in the days following these deadly attacks, these Christians forgave the attackers. They publicly recited the Nicene Creed. What a witness to us. What a confession of faith they provide. Then a few weeks later, right about a month ago, there was a group of Egyptian Christians traveling to a monastery, and there on their way they were ambushed. A group of armed men forced the buses to stop. One of the buses, they forced the people to come out of it. The men were separated on one side, the women and children on the other. And then they were told they must recite what is called the Shahada. This is the Muslim creed. In fact, all you need to do to become a Muslim is to say this creed, this Shahada. Essentially, these Christians were being told, recite the creed, become a Muslim, or die. That day, at least 28 were shot and killed right there in the desert for confessing, for holding true to their Christian faith. Frankly, it is a fact that Christians have been hated, persecuted, and murdered since the very beginning of Christ's church. But we here in the West, we don't experience much of it. We don't read much about it in our newspapers, even in religious publications. We ought to repent because we have a lack of understanding of what is going on in the East. And frankly, we have a lack of compassion for what our brothers and our sisters are experiencing in these more hostile lands. We should repent for not providing them more aid. It's interesting that these Egyptian Christians are able to so freely and so lovingly forgive these terrorists that trespass against them. What a witness, what a confession that they give to us as they teach us how to forgive. And let us thank God for their confession of faith and their forgiveness. Now, I'm not saying we don't ever experience trouble or persecution here. There are now and then people killed here because they are Christian, but normally we don't see violent persecution. We see persecution through intolerance, through government fiat, now through campus speech codes, and especially through a mob mentality that says Christians must be silenced, especially if they attempt to live out and confess their faith. Recently, in the past few weeks, we've seen this several times. We've seen it in Illinois with their adoption centers. We've seen it in Washington, D.C. in a Senate confirmation hearing. And twice in Canada, we have seen actions taken against an Orthodox Christian confession. From early on, God's people have suffered and been hated by an unbelieving world. Abel was murdered because his sacrifice was acceptable to God when his brother's was not. Noah was despised and made fun of and ridiculed until the moment those doing the ridiculing were swept away by the flood. The judges, the prophets, the godly kings saw adversity, and some of these prophets were even killed and murdered because of their confession. This held true all the way to the time of John the Baptist when he came calling, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." In the Gospels, after Jesus is baptized by John, we read that he is led into the wilderness to be tempted. There he faces Satan. He rebuffs the twisting of Scripture that Satan employs. And then Jesus comes back and he begins his public ministry. And he does so by saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." In the ministry of Jesus, he proclaims all that his Father has given him to say. He boldly proclaims the law. He calls his hearer to repent, and he proves over and over again he is the Christ through his sayings and his miracles. You would think that those who saw it would come to know and to love and to worship him. But that doesn't happen, because if you are in the dark and the light comes near you, you will recoil at that light. Matthew records the text when Jesus calls him to be a disciple. He leaves his tax booth. He sits and he dines with Jesus along with some of his tax collector friends, and the Pharisees do not approve. They have a chorus of scoffing around, and Jesus says that they should look up Hosea and read where God says that he desires mercy, not sacrifice. Because Jesus came not for those who thought they were righteous, but he came for the very sinners who sought mercy. And let us not deceive ourselves, and let us realize that we regularly and often find ourselves in both places. We are regularly the Pharisee passing judgment. We are regularly like the tax collector repenting of our sins. As the ministry of Jesus progresses, as we read the Gospels, we see that he gains both disciples and enemies. And these enemies begin to blaspheme. They claim that Jesus is blaspheming and he's doing his deeds by the power of the devil. And we all know where this hatred culminates. It culminates with Christ on a cross. But our text today is roughly the middle of the gospel. And here in Matthew 10, Jesus is sending the 12 out to minister, and he tells them in our text today that brother will hand over brother, father will hand over child. Now, did you notice Jesus says will? He does not say if. It's simply assumed that the 12 will experience persecution. And why? It's because they bear the name of Christ. Jesus says, "A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher and the servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household?" If those in the dark hated Jesus and they hated his apostles, then it should be obvious to us that they will also hate those he gives to be pastors and teachers and all those whom he calls to be Christian. Yet this text is not a text that should make you fear. You don't need to be anxious about what might happen to you. So don't have fear, because at the end, everything that is secret will be exposed. All of it will be made known, and it won't matter if you're on the right side of history, if you're on the wrong side of Jesus. But because you are on the right side of Jesus, you don't need to fear these who can kill the body like the terrorists in Egypt. Because all they can do is kill the body. Instead, let us have the righteous fear of the one who saves you because you believe in him. The one who is able to throw body and soul into hell those who hate him. And because our Father knows the number of hairs on our head, because he knows that not one sparrow will fall to the ground outside of his knowledge, we need not fear. So why is it that we should expect to be hated? Why is it that we have no need to dread and despair being in the presence of God? Well, St. Paul answers that for us in the epistle text. There we hear that we have been brought from death to life, from darkness to light, that we are to be God's instruments of righteousness. Paul uses the picture of a slave. He says that when you were dead in trespasses and sins, basically when you hated God, you were a slave to sin. But now, as one who believes in Christ as your Savior, you have been freed from that slavery. No longer are you shackled and bound by sin, rather you are freed and are a slave to righteousness. Listen to what he writes. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? The end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Because of this free gift, we fear God and not man. Because of the work of Christ on our behalf, we have an inheritance. We have eternal life. Yes, we still die because we are sinners. We do receive the temporal reward of our evil deeds. But as those who have been called to faith, as those who confess Christ and Him crucified for the forgiveness of our sins, we are also certain that we will live with Him forever. And with this knowledge, with this certainty, we are able to boldly confess Christ before man. 487 years ago today, a group of laymen confessed their faith to the very man who had the power and earthly authority to put them to death. They read to Charles V the document we now call the Augsburg Confession in the city of, yes, Augsburg. These men boldly confessed the truth of their doctrine because it is exactly what the Word of God teaches. They were willing to die for this confession because they knew it would be true. They knew it was true. And they would not put their eternal soul in danger by denying their God because they know what their God has said. Now, thankfully, even though Charles did not agree, he did not accept their confession, he did not have them put to death for it. And we have their confession to this day as one of the foundational confessional documents and statements of our faith. And just like then, it's no easier today to stand up to your enemies, let alone your friends and your family, when they want you to deny rather than to confess your Lord. Yet do not fear them, even if they bear the sword or the power of social media. They can do you no harm. The message preached by John and Jesus is the same message we have to proclaim today. Repent, for the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It is near. Our message is one of mercy, not of sacrifice. Well, not our sacrifice. We have confessed and we will continue to confess Jesus as our Lord. This Jesus who has come and taken away your sins, who has shouldered them all on the cross, who has freed you from your slavery to sin. And with this freedom, you are free to confess Him. So stand firm, because you are of much more value than many sparrows. And as you stand firm, as you confess Him, know and be certain that your Savior will also confess you on the last day. Amen. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.